Very good. Well, I just want to commend our young men this morning. Wesley did a wonderful job reading, and Garrison, your prayer touched my heart. And Jonathan, wonderful job, bro. Wonderful job of leading worship, and I want you continuing to work on that and practice and develop your gift. You have a gift, so all of you do. So thank you for bringing your gifts to bless all of us this morning. I want to spend just a few moments talking about some foundational or basic things about why it is that we give and contribute to the work of the Lord. We contribute to the work of this church. I'm going to work from the assumption that not everybody in here has a basic knowledge of why, or also the assumption that we need reminders from time to time. Even the Apostle Paul will say, remember this, or remember what the Lord said, and he wants the church to recall what the church knows. And so this morning, that's what I hope to accomplish in the next few minutes. I've entitled the sermon today, The Gifts of the Giver. Because when you and I give, they are gifts. But even when we give gifts, church family, we as Christians, we understand that we also receive, that we receive in giving. Giving comes from an act of love. It reciprocates. It's a wonderful thing. It's the very nature of God, and we being made in His image, it makes sense that we experience this, the gifts of the giver. And there's three that I want to mention here shortly. Number one is this. Okay, I did something wrong. Suzanne, can you help me? All right, rather than punching the button to the right, I'm going to punch the top. There you go. All right, I'll do it correctly next time. The first thing is the gift of love. When you and I give a gift to the church to give in Christ's name, we are given a gift of love. We are expressing our love back to God. Exodus chapter 9, verse 29. When Moses was talking to Pharaoh, he made a very interesting statement. It was hailing, and Pharaoh wanted it stopped. And Moses says this in Exodus 9, 29. He says, everything belongs to God. He says, I'm saying everything belongs to God. Here's what Moses says as to why I say that. Quote, when I have gone out of the city, I'll spread out my hands in prayer to the Lord. The thunder will stop and there will be no more hail. So you may know that the earth is the Lord's. Exodus 9:29. That same thing is celebrated in Psalm 24, verse 1. It says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and, listen to this church family, all who live in it. So what is it saying? Even about our very lives, that everything belongs to God. It is foundational for you and I to understand. Open up in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. That's the very first chapter of the whole Bible, right? Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 27. So God created mankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. All right, here we go. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth. All right, you ought to underline this. Subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, over everything, the living creature that moves on the ground. God says, I give you all these green good foods for everything that's green for food for you. Okay, so here's what we know. The earth is the Lord and everything in it, and everyone who lives in it. It's reflecting off of this foundational passage in Genesis chapter 1. When God tells Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule it. Okay, so here's very important for us to understand. You and I are stewards. We have rulership over the things that belong to, say it with me, church family, over the things that belong to God. And even the things that you and I possess and own, ultimately we are stewards of those things, and they all belong to, say it with me, church family, God. That's a foundational understanding for all of the giving that you and I do. We know that Israel, when they came out of Egyptian bondage and slavery, Deuteronomy chapter 26, Moses instructs them to return a portion of their first fruits of their labor to God. One-tenth of all that they had. To set the first portion, the first fruits were to be given to God. And they were to understand this, that God had given them everything, and this was a return to God. So when we give, we are expressing our love to God. Matter of fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible says this, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength." In other words, you and I are to love God with everything, which includes what, church family? It includes our finances. Say that with me. It includes our finances. To love God with all that we have. What is it that God has given us? Everything. And unless we give back, church family, what we're doing is we receive, but rather than being an overspill or an overflow, we become a dam. We block the blessings of God. They're intended to flow into our lives and through our lives for His purposes in this world. We do what Vladimir Putin did. All of you know who Vladimir Putin did. I just found out about this. This is a hilarious story. Back in 2012, Robert Kraft, who is the owner of the New England Patriots football team, he revealed to the world that Vladimir Putin had stolen one of his Super Bowl rings. Back in 2000, have any of you heard this story? Back in 2005, Kraft was visiting Russia, and he went to the Kremlin, and he met Vladimir Putin. And he was showing off one of his Super Bowl rings to Vladimir Putin. And Kraft takes it off, and he gives it to Putin. Putin puts the ring on his hand, and he's like, his first thought was this, wow, I could kill somebody with that, which might suggest one of the things that he likes to do. Nevertheless, he says, then according to Kraft, who told the story in 2012, he says, Putin put the ring in his pocket. And then the KGB surrounded Putin, and they all walked out with Kraft's ring, who even had his name, Robert Kraft, engraved on it. Kraft was not happy about this, and he talked to the State Department, and they encouraged him in the interest of U.S.-Russian relations to lie and say that he gave it to Putin as a gift. But Kraft broke his silence in 2012. Here's the point. Kraft did give Putin his ring temporarily to borrow for a few moments. He intended for Putin to put it on for a few moments to admire it. But he did not intend for Putin, once he took possession of it, to act as if the ring belonged to him. You hear me, church family, say amen. When we give gifts, when we give the gift of love back to God, we are saying we possess, we manage, but it belongs to you. And folks, this is true in the scriptures. I did it again, Suzanne. Fix it. This is true in the scripture, in the New Testament as well. 2 Corinthians 8, 7 and through 9. Paul says, but since you excel in everything, faith, speech, knowledge, complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of, what does it say, church family? This grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with earnestness of others. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, for your sake became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. When you and I give, we are expressing love to God. And so giving is not something we are instructed to do, but we are called to do it, and we are to do it well, to excel in it. Number two. Suzanne, is it the top button? The one on the side? That's what I keep doing. It's not. All right. Number two. When you and I give, we give the gift of ministry. Giving expands the work of the church. Now think about this. Jesus, when he began his ministry, before he began his ministry, he received gifts. Remember the Magi from the East. that brought him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In Luke chapter 8, when Jesus began his earthly ministry, he was supported financially. There were women who followed the 12 apostles. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3 mentions the name of those women. And it says they supported them, Jesus and the 12, out of their own purses, their own resources. The work of the church is to proclaim the gospel that Jesus is Lord and Savior, that he is the one who saves us from their sins and resurrects us back to life, changing us from darkness to light. And when we give, we are participating in ministry of maturing disciples. And so out of the gifts of the church, we're able to hire full-time ministers who give their attention fully to the work of the church. We're able to support the church's education programs, the youth programs, the transportation, the fellowship needs, youth ministry, as we plan to expand. We're able to support foreign and domestic missions. We meet benevolent needs of members and people in our community. The more resources that we have as a church, the more ministry is given in Jesus' name, and God is glorified. So when we give the gift of ministry. And number three, when we give the gift of personal growth. You see, you and I, when you and I give, we personally grow. Giving grows Christ's character in our lives. It's called discipleship. What you give, you invest in. For instance, church family, some of you may own some stock in a company, say Apple, right? And so when you invest money into Apple, you come across an article about the company Apple. What do you normally do? You read about it. Why? Because you're invested in it. Or you hear about new products that they're coming out with that all of these young people are going to buy, and they're going to spend every living dime and cent they've got to have some more of those Apple products so that you all who own those stocks can make more money. Okay, you're losing, they're winning, just in case. Okay, all right. So, you know, because you're interested in all these things because you're invested in it. And you're in it. Folks, your heart is in whatever you invest in. And if you're invested in Christ, in his church, your heart's in it. And every time something's going on in the church, you're interested in it because you're a participant of it. You're an active participant. You're involved in that ministry. And the word tells us that, Suzanne, fix it, please. Okay. No, we went too far. There, but I did it again. Go back, please. One more. There we go. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this. This is the sowing, reaping principle that we all need to know in our life. The sowing, reaping principle. If you sow sparingly, do not expect an abundant return. But if you sow abundantly, look for and expect that return. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously, the scriptures. So the more that we reap, the more we're going to sow. And God wants an enormous harvest. He desires willing partners that give cheerfully. So we give so that you and I can, so we can give more. And then God gives us more so that you and I can give more. And then God gives us more so that you and I can give more. And on and on and on it goes. God promises us that we will be enriched in every way so that we can be generous on every occasion. So giving allows us to grow personally as disciples. Now, I promise I hit the right button. I don't know. I give up on that. Suzanne, go to, yes. So here's how should you and I give? How should you and I give? We should give intentionally, proportionally, generously, and gladly. So as you think about you and your family and what you desire to do, as you think about prayerfully considering what you're going to set aside, a portion of your income, these are the things that you need to have in mind today. And I want to share a couple of passages with you. Suzanne, move it forward. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2, he says about the collection of the Lord's people on the first day of every week. What is that? That's intentional. On the first day of the week, each of you should set aside. What's that? Intentional. A sum of money in keeping with your income. What is that? Proportional. Saving it up. Intentional. So that when I come, no collections will have to be made. This grows right out of the first fruits, setting something apart. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be what? Isn't that interesting? Overflowing. And your vats will brim over with new wine. Can I get an amen? So when we give intentionally and we give proportionately. In the Old Testament, the portion was a tenth. It's interesting in the New Testament that we are not giving a particular percentage of our income, okay? Now, before the law of Moses, you do have what Abraham does, and he gives a tenth. You have the principle of the tithe before you have the law of Moses. Now, I don't know, and I'm not going to say what that portion of your income should be. But it does need to be in proportion to what you make. So if someone makes more, then obviously the portion would be larger. If someone makes less, the portion would be smaller. But it's between you and God what that portion should be. But remember this. Go to the next slide. It should be characterized by generosity. And nothing... My screen went blank, but y'all's didn't. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly, we read that, reaps sparingly. Who sows generously will reap generously. And the point of it is, when God makes he's making a promise to his church family. He's making a promise to us that when we are good stewards of our resources, I don't know how God does it. It's a mystery. But when you're being responsible with the gifts of God, he tends to increase the gifts. And that's his promise. And it says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart. See, that's intentionality. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. Hey, no one forces you to obey Jesus. No one forces you to be baptized. Nobody forced you to come to church unless you're under the age of 18 today. Nobody is going to, you know, force you to give money to the church. It is free from love. And God loves what? A cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Church family, these are the principles. The gift of love, we express love back to God when we give. The gift of ministry, we expand the work of the church. And the gift of personal growth is what we experience when we give. And while we should give intentionally, proportionally, generously, and gladly. Amen? There it is. So may you make godly plans this year. And let us be faithful with the resources God has given us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious and give you strength. If we can serve any of you, we invite you forward while we stand and sing.